Ryan Shog from TSN joining us. Shogger, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you boys doing?
How many shifts, if you're a member of the Montreal Canadiens, would you give Derek Stepan before you'd punch him in the jaw?
Oh, probably not too many. I don't know that I'd flat out punch him in the jaw, because then you kind of risk the roughing penalty, but I definitely would be looking to get into some scrums and some gloves in the face. Definitely would be looking for that. Although he'll have the full gear on, I'm sure, if he goes, right?
I would imagine.
The Sam Gagner gear, yeah.
Yeah, but Sam
Gagner. There'll be something, but you could jar.
Yeah, it's what he said. It's more the jarring, like ram his shoulders or something. He says when your whole body's jarring. But to me, if you're the Habs, you're going right after that. Because now, I don't know what he had surgery on. But
yeah, like what kind of a surgery do you play 2 days later? That just seems weird to me.
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying, I think it might be something where, you know, maybe along the gum line or you have a little fracture,
like,
a small break.
Can you still classify it as quote-unquote surgery if they went in and took out a tooth that was broken? You know what I mean?
Like, but that's what I would suspect that's probably going
surgery.
On.
Yeah, oral surgery is still surgery, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the whole thing seems fishy. Like, he's got a broken jaw and isn't available to all of a sudden miraculously ready to go. That's Eric Cole-like.
Yeah. What did you guys think of Cherry's comments that moving hitting in minor hockey will have no more guys like St. Louis? Like, is that just the most blatant overreaction?
Yeah, I mean, do I think that there's a little bit of merit to what he's saying? Sure. Do I think it's a reason not to do it? I wouldn't say that. I think there's something to be said from a very, very young age, having to have your head on a swivel and learn to be elusive. Otherwise, you get steamrolled. You kind of learn. That's what makes some of those smaller guys so effective, is that they're so elusive and they're used to having to keep their head up. And if you start that at 14 or 15 instead of 11 or 12, who knows, right? So I think there's something there, but I don't think it's reason to wave the panic flag and say that the world shouldn't be making the change. What do you guys think? I don't know. It seems like it's there's a point there, but I don't know how serious it is.
Well, if anything, I think you have smaller kids now playing longer because they have a few extra years where they don't have to get hammered by some kids that are way bigger than them, where Pee-wee, there's a pretty big discrepancy. And then all of a sudden that gives them a few extra years to grow and, more importantly, gain some confidence. So I think you might have more players playing longer now.
Yeah, or you might have all the small players or a larger number of the small players, you know, packing it in when the hitting starts. Right, because it's all of a sudden their world changes drastically and they're not used to it. And the discrepancy between the small guys and the big guys in and around that age range is, you know, it's significant. So who knows? I guess it could go either way. I think if you're a small player and you have the jam that you need to survive and the gamesmanship, it probably doesn't matter when they start the hitting. You're gonna be that type of person to battle through it. But it might weed some of them out before they get to that point.
Ryan Shog joined us. Shogger, looking at the LA Kings, and you know, we talked about it, 7 games just to get out of the Pacific Division against both the Sharks and the Ducks, and now they're having their way the last few games with the Chicago Blackhawks. Does this make things even more daunting for the Oilers organization when they look at the Pacific Division?
Well, yeah. I mean, let's face it, it's been pretty daunting all year, I think, for them to look at the competition that's in the division and try and imagine a scenario where they can compete with that in a 7-game series. But if you look at what LA is doing now, LA right now reminds me of the Kings that won the Cup a few years ago, the way they were playing, just the type of game they were playing, the way they were rolling and the goaltending they were getting. But yeah, I mean, this Oiler team, you run down the roster and I know there's a lot of question marks, but it's not even in the ballpark of where those other teams are. So yes, would be my resounding answer to your question. It's just the worst division in hockey they could possibly be playing in for the way they're built and what they're trying to do. But maybe it's not a bad thing because they're going to have to build it the right way to be competitive. And they know they have no choice because of where they're playing.
So with that in mind, come the draft at number 3, one of Bennett and Reinhardt are available, and Leon Draisaitl, who do you take?
Well, I think it depends on what your professional intelligence tells you and who the other teams want. I think that taking Draisaitl at three, if you think he would be available a pick or two later, if you could turn that deal and still get him and pick something else up, that would be the ideal smart play. But I think Draisaitl is the target. I really do. I think he's the one you need to go get. But it's just a matter of whether it's wise or not to take him at three, or if you've got a certain level of pro intelligence that tells you, not, we could slide back a couple spots and still grab him there. And if it doesn't work out, still be happy with what you end up with in that spot. But I think Draisaitl is the target. I do. For his skill set, what he brings, where he's at, what the Oilers need, to me, it just makes more sense than the other guys.
Looking at this game tonight, Montreal and the Rangers, the Habs power play obviously was a big reason why they lost the last game. They just couldn't score on it. And the Rangers have been a very good penalty-killing team all season long. We saw in the Chicago LA series, they changed things up on their power play, you know, with Seabrook and Sharp. You were covering that series a long time. If you're the Habs, is there anything you tweak on your power play?
Well, they've got a couple of different looks to it, right? They go the 1-3-1 there with Piqué at the point, and then they'll and Markov kind of sneaks down, and then they'll go two across the point with the one-timer set up for Piqué. I think that Piqué's most success has been with the one-timer. And I think that he's overhandling a little bit, and I think the 1-3-1, if he's the last line of defense, the way he's overhandling it right now, I think it's a little bit dangerous. They had a shorty scored on him the other day. So I think they need to try and center it around PK's one-timer and to get some traffic in front of the net. Thomas Vanek's best power play work gets done in the high slot, tipping pucks, picking up rebounds. I prefer that look with PK lined up for the one-timer instead of telling him to be an artist back there by himself.
Schauger, is there any sign that Vanek might move up in the lineup? Right now he's playing about 11 minutes a night. They're struggling to score a little bit. Is there any chance that he gets moved up to try to get him going?
Yeah, well, I would think that if they're facing elimination and there's a chance that their season's going to be over, they're going to want to have it with all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. And this has been the discussion really since the first round, because we've been chewing on this guy since the first round, really. What do you do with him? They trade him. He's an unrestricted free agent. I think when they first traded for him, part of the thought process was, well, perhaps they could let him see what a great organization and that they have a chance to win, so maybe he'll want to stay. Well, the worm has turned on that. I'm not sure the Montreal Canadiens have much interest in having this player hang around based on what they've seen these playoffs. So it's not really about making him happy. It's about trying to win the game. But that said, I believe Thomas Vanek is the type of player where if you dump him down on the fourth line, he'll be useless.
Yeah.
Totally useless. The only chance you have of getting something out of him is to put him where he thinks he belongs, throw him up on that first line again, and let him see if he can come up with a game. And if you lose, I don't know who's going to blame you for having Thomas Vanek playing a regular shift if you end up losing. Whereas if you lose and you played him 9 minutes and you lost because you didn't score enough goals, well, maybe there's some criticism to be had there. So I think if you're gonna go down, you got to go down swinging with all hands on deck.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Do you think the Hawks can come back in this series?
I think they can. I think they have the ability to. I think they have the team to. And I think there's another gear that they have to hit. That's why I believe they can do it. They've got some pretty important guys that aren't contributing a whole lot right now. And if that changes, the whole dynamic of the series changes. Now, LA's had something to do with those guys not contributing. It's not like they've just been bad. LA's done a good job of shutting down the Hawks' best players. But you're not going to keep those guys quiet for too long. And if you do, you'll beat them. But Kane, Taves, Sharp, Seabrook, Keith, these guys are an elite top five. And I think that they have enough skill and talent that if it gets going, they can come back in this series. I'm not going to call it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's pretty much all but done. But you know, Dusty asked me the question this morning, if you had to pick either the Canadians or the Blackhawks, which team is more likely to come back in this scenario? I pick Chicago every time because they're not playing their best right now.
Shogger, I remember a few years ago, you were like Sotheby and didn't have an NFL team to cheer for. So we ended up, and you picked San Diego, and then likely became the worst San Diego fan ever. Had no idea who they were playing. So I'm not even going to ask you.
Wait, hold on. So is San Diego his pick?
Yeah, well, that was who his pick was a few years ago, Rashog. So do you have any advice on who Sotheby should become a fan of?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, the jerseys and the color of them,
right.
How they look, if they match, kind of just the feeling you get when you look at the jersey.
The baby blue lightning bolt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then other than that, I would just flat out be a front runner because it's no fun. You pick a terrible team and you just get made fun of and you don't really care anyway. So just pick a front runner.
That's true.
Shogger.
Really.
Well, there you go. You admit it. You're a front runner. I like it. Why was Aaron Ward getting ripped on so much for his tie combo last
night? Good,
I thought I didn't mind it.
Huh. Yeah. See, this is the thing you guys need to know about Aaron Ward. He has, I think, in the neighborhood of 200 to 300 shirts. I'm not joking. Like he had a closet at TSN before where he kept it all. He's got several hundred shirts, several hundred ties. I don't even know, probably between 50 and 100 suits to choose from. The man buys clothing like we buy milk.
Wow.
So he has so much to choose from. I just think that it's almost like there's too much there. Like, good luck finding anything that matches. There's just too much there. So some of his combinations lately have been a little bit out there, and I think it's because it's just, you just got to go searching. You can't take half an hour to decide what to wear.
Well, what do you mean? You do it every day. What are you talking about?
No, man. I keep my 5 suits, 10 to 15 shirts, and 20 ties. And that is the perfect amount. You can keep it fresh. I really shouldn't be talking. I'm not exactly, I wouldn't be considered a well-dressed. And I'm no John Liu, but I keep it simple, stupid, and it's hard to mess up.
Shogger, always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Have a good one, boys.